Eclipse says it will bring the single-engine ECJ to market. It also says the price for the Eclipse 500 is now over $2 million. And the merger is off, and this time it's official. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, June 2nd, 2008. Friday was Eclipse Aviation's 10th annual eRival Owners Meeting in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and those in attendance got some good news and some bad but not surprising news. CEO Vern Rayburn confirmed that after 10 months of market research and gauging reaction to the prototype, Eclipse will go ahead with production of the single-engine Eclipse concept jet. The ECJ was a surprise at Oshkosh, making a theatrical entrance outside the Eclipse tent while a press conference was underway inside. The V-tailed plane will be called the Eclipse 400 when it enters the market, expected in late 2011, at a list price of $1.35 million. Eclipse says it intends to certify the 400 to flight level 410. That's 16,000 feet higher than the service ceiling for competing planes from Diamond and Cirrus, and 6,000 feet higher than Piperjet. At an estimated 330 knots, the single Pratt & Whitney Canada PW16F will use less than 1 pound of fuel per nautical mile, making the 400 the world's most fuel-efficient jet aircraft. Eclipse aims for a full fuel payload of 580 pounds, with a maximum IFR range of 1,250 nautical miles. The Eclipse 400 will be offered first to customers already on the Eclipse 500 waiting list. Those customers who place deposits by July 25th will also earn a $125,000 discount. So, why would anyone waiting for an Eclipse 500 opt off the list to buy a smaller single-engine jet? Well, for one thing, effective immediately, the price of the 500 expressed in June 2008 dollars has jumped to $2.15 million. 10 years of a sliding U.S. dollar and delays in reaching full production have made the original goal of a very light jet under $1 million a distant memory. Also, Rayburn stressed, quote, Eclipse must be profitable in 2009. Customers who purchased the 500 at $1.595 million and below and who have not yet paid their 50% price deposit will see the price increase. Existing customers will have 90 days to determine whether or not to stay with their current purchase, transfer their deposits to Eclipse 400 orders, or cancel their orders outright and have their deposits refunded. This time, the merger update does not come from nameless sources close to the talks. United Airlines, in a statement to the Arizona Republic, says it will not be merging with U.S. Airways in the near term. The paper reports U.S. Airways CEO Doug Parker traveled to Chicago Thursday to appeal to United's Glenn Tilton to keep merger talks alive, but got a polite no. United says a merger, quote, doesn't make sense for now, unquote. But both sides say the talks could be reopened in the future. United says it will instead discuss options for a marketing alliance with Continental, which in turn has confirmed similar talks with American Airlines and British Airways. If late flights, lost and smashed bags, tarmac strandings, and surprise extra charges have soured you on airline travel, you're not alone. The Travel Industry Association released a survey Thursday revealing that air travelers skipped an estimated 41 million trips over the past 12 months at a cost of more than $26 billion to the U.S. economy. At the top of the list of gripes, inefficient security screening, and flight cancellations and delays. Conducted by Peter D. Hart Research Associates and the Winston Group, the study found nearly 50% saying that the air travel system is not likely to improve in the near future. Perhaps they've heard the FAA wants to wait till 2020 to implement NextGen. TIA President Roger Dow notes 100,000 travelers each day are voting with their wallets by choosing to avoid airline trips. Quote, this landmark research should be a wake-up call to America's policy leaders that the time for meaningful air system reform is now, unquote. The survey questioned 1,003 adults who had taken at least one round trip by air in the last 12 months, and it was conducted the week of May 6th. Coming up next, details are still pending in an A320 overrun in Honduras. Discovery will dock today at the International Space Station. And the Phoenix Mars probe may have kicked up ice during its touchdown. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC 700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 2nd, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Initial reports from authorities say at least five people were killed and 65 injured Friday when an airliner operated by Central America's TACA Airlines skidded off the end of a runway and onto a road at Tonkonten Airport in Tegucigalpa, Honduras. The Airbus A320 was arriving from San Salvador. The flight originated in Los Angeles. A total of 124 passengers plus crew were on board. TACA officials said the aircraft overran the runway and continued down a 66-foot embankment, crossing a road before the fuselage separated into three pieces. Officials say that Nicaraguan Harry Brodigam, president of the Central American Bank for Economic Integration, was among those killed in the crash. At least 65 others have been hospitalized, including Brazil's ambassador to Tegucigalpa, José Roberto de Almeida Pinto. Rescue personnel told reporters that many on board were being treated for smoke inhalation, resulting from a post-crash fire. Witnesses said visibility was poor at the time of the landing attempt, and it appeared the pilot unsuccessfully attempted a go-around. Just after 3 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday, NASA's Space Shuttle Discovery lifted off from Cape Canaveral on its latest mission to the International Space Station. So far, all indications from NASA are the launch progressed smoothly. Video from a camera mounted on the shuttle's external tank appeared to show small chunks of foam or ice breaking off the tank, but at the moment, it's not expected to have caused significant damage. Discovery and its seven-member crew will dock with the ISS today. The STS-124 mission will deliver the second of three sections of Japan's Kibo Science Laboratory and, of course, some much-needed plumbing repair parts. Scientists have discovered what may be ice that was exposed when soil was blown away as NASA's Phoenix spacecraft landed on Mars May 25th. The possible ice appears in an image the robotic arm camera took underneath the lander near a footpad. Ray Arvidson of Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri, co-investigator for the robotic arm, says, quote, "We'll test by getting more data, including color data, from the robotic arm camera. We think that if the hard features are ice, they will become brighter because atmospheric water vapor will collect as new frost on the ice. Full confirmation will come when we excavate," unquote. On Thursday night, testing of a Phoenix instrument that bakes and sniffs samples to identify ingredients showed a possible intermittent short circuit. William Boynton of the University of Arizona at Tucson, lead scientist for the instrument, says workarounds for some of the possible problems have been devised. The FAA suspended operations by a Florida Air Ambulance Service on Friday, saying the company failed to adhere to numerous safety practices. The Charlotte County Herald Tribune reports the agency issued the emergency order to shut down AirTrek over issues including failure to abide to weight guidelines on its aircraft, failure to give pilots proper training and rest, allowing improperly qualified personnel to perform international flights, and failure to properly inspect and maintain its planes. AirTrek co-founder Dana Carr admits his company did not keep up on paperwork, but insists the Punta Gorda-based air ambulance service followed safety guidelines and flew a properly maintained fleet. Carr has filed an appeal to lift the suspension. Over the past 3 years, three AirTrek-operated flights have crashed. One killed six people. The company has attracted a number of critics, some posting anonymously online. Carr said one website, hosted by angelfire.com, is run by a competitor. Quote, That's made up of a combination of some disgruntled ex-employees and this competitor, and you notice that none of them are willing to put their name to anything, unquote. Still ahead, Grone Brothers Aviation announces cutbacks. Xair says it's ready to sell you an LSA for $47,000. And Utah State University Rocketeers revel in a national prize. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, June 2, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Rotorcraft developer Grone Brothers Aviation announced on Friday that delays in its Helioplane program for DARPA and current conditions in capital markets are forcing cost-cutting measures, including the layoff of two-thirds of its workforce. The company says it hopes to continue developing its technology on a reduced scale. In a release to ANN, GBA said the company is negotiating with investors for additional funding that would allow it to continue its technology development while it negotiates new contracts for its technology. However, quote, even though management remains optimistic, there is no guarantee that the negotiations for essential new funding will be successful, unquote. The company says delays in developing its Helioplane were compounded by funding challenges and the bankruptcy of Atom Aircraft, which was to have provided fuselages. GBA says talks continue to find partners for the certification and production of its advanced turbine-powered Hawk 5 gyroplane, principally with parties in Spain and Korea. The company's Sparrowhawk 3 kit-built gyroplane program is up for sale. Critics of the company have complained that Grone Brothers is more successful in raising capital than in developing aircraft. The company's stock, which trades over the counter, finished Friday afternoon under 7 cents per share. Xair announced on Friday it has received ASTM consensus standard acceptance from the Seattle MIDO for special light sport aircraft. Xair's sales and marketing chief, Justin Reimer, notes, quote, much has been made of the six-figure LSA market and the need for more aircraft that meet the original intent of an affordable entry-level marketplace. Well, now you have it. Priced at $46,900, the Xair LS is sure to attract attention, unquote. The LS is powered by an 85-horsepower Jabiru 2.2-liter air-cooled engine and claims a maximum cruise speed of 100 miles per hour. It also comes standard with flaps, trim, ICOM radio, Dynon engine monitor, and basic flight instrumentation. Optional equipment includes extended fuel capability and Garmin avionics. The company says it's ready to produce in numbers to meet market demand. The manufacturing and sales operations are based in Redmond, Oregon, and sales are factory direct. A team of student rocketeers from Utah State University in Logan has won the 2007-2008 University Student Launch Initiative, according to event organizers at NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama. The annual competition is sponsored by ATK Launch Systems of Brigham City, Utah, and Huntsville. It challenges college and university teams to design and build reusable rockets that can carry working science payloads 1 mile high, then return them safely to Earth. The competition culminates each spring in a day-long launch event that draws hundreds of spectators to the Tennessee Valley. NASA engineers and scientists judge each team's rocket design, its flight data, and its final written report on payload results and overall experience. As the top winner, the Utah State University team receives a $5,000 award from ATK and an invitation from NASA to attend a space shuttle launch at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. Other teams in the latest round included Auburn University in Alabama, the University of Alabama in Huntsville, Harding University in Searcy, Arkansas, Fisk University in Nashville, Tennessee, Vanderbilt University in Nashville, and the College of Menominee Nation in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And finally, three Iraqi nationals became Baghdad's first tower-certified air traffic controllers last week. At a ceremony on Thursday, the Director General of Iraq's Civil Aviation Authority, Sabih El-Shabani, and U.S. Secretary of Transportation Mary Peters presented the controllers with their certifications at Baghdad International Airport. An additional 22 controllers are expected to complete their training and receive certification over the coming weeks and months. Peters said an FAA-led team oversaw the rigorous training needed to support the Iraqi Civil Aviation Authority now that it controls the nation's airspace above 29,000 feet. The new controllers arrived just in time for Iraqi Airways to begin taking possession of new aircraft later this year. Wow! In the U.S., the Controllers Union complains that too many new trainees are left to be mentored by a dwindling staff of veteran controllers at busy airports. These three guys just started Thursday, and they are the veteran controllers. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. I'll talk with the newest member of the Niagara Frontier Aviation and Space Hall of Fame, CFI Bob Miller. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.